Good morning. It's
good
Monday morning.
Good morning, Linda. It's time for Food Talk. And it's also April.
Boop, 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 boop. And we're not fooling.
We are not fooling. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, obviously, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. And it is this very moment, not even this moment, this 15 seconds that I realized I don't have an apron on.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I feel like we are just toppling toward a brand new trend here.
Really?
Well, I don't
Naked
know.
Naked that... show?
Yeah, right.
Because that's the only trend I can get out of that. Remove one item of clothing every show. The slowest strip poker on earth.
Oh, my gosh. You don't want to be cooking naked. I'm sorry. We just can't.
We learned that from that time that I took stuff out of my oven in the bathrobe and it fell open and I just got this big old giant tummy burn.
Oh, so sad. There's a story I don't think we've told on the radio yet.
Can we tell it on the radio?
Possibly. However, I just want to take a quick second here to notify everyone who doesn't know and remind everyone who does that KMUN's Spring Pledge Drive is coming up April 8th. That's next week.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I know. It's so fun, and we always look forward to it. There will be a food talk during the pledge drive, so that's always double exciting for you and I. So it is April 8th through the 17th. It's a 10-day drive this spring, and all donations from right now through the end of the drive will count toward our $60,000 goal. So you can get ahead of the game if you'd like to and donate now at kmun.org, or you can call 503-325-0010. Brian's out there this morning.
I call him Brain.
I like
to mix up his vowels. Also, he's really smart.
Yeah, exactly. It's so appropriate. So thank you so much for supporting Community Radio. Thank you. We join you in doing that, both Linda and I. And for Food Talk that's coming up during Pledge Drive, I'll just give you a heads up that there will be some really beautiful cookbook prizes, and we will have a drawing that everyone who donates online or by phone during Food Talk, during the drive, we'll go into a drawing and we will award some prizes and then let you know what happened.
Yay!
I know.
Maybe even a standing rib roast.
Oh my God.
But maybe not.
Maybe not. Or a grapefruit. I don't know. I don't know.
We have all kinds of ideas.
Yeah, right. We'll try not to foist them upon you. I say with great trepidation that maybe we need to finish the story of naked cooking. What's going on?
Oh, with me?
Yeah.
Oh no, this was quite a while ago. But my oven is at like chest height in the kitchen. You know, it's built in like most ovens are, and so it's in there, and you open it up, and then the door comes down to just like about hip height, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so just one day I put something in the oven and it was in there for a while, went and took a shower, came out in my robe, and I took it out and I bent over like I always do. But normally, and this is why I thought of it, I have on an apron, uh-huh, and jeans and underwear and a shirt and, you know, maybe even a sweater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So many layers of clothing right there that I don't even notice that it's hot. And so I bent over, but my robe fell open and I just pressed my belly against that blazing hot oven. Oh my gosh. And I got the biggest burn. I still have a mark. It was so horrible.
Why are we laughing?
Oh, because it was so
And because
so stupid.
Everyone out there is probably laughing too. It's a group activity.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
So stupid.
All right. Well, now we've started with a tragedy.
No naked cooking.
No. Yeah. That's obviously, it sounds like it's just common sense, but now we have a testimonial to support that.
Oh.
Holy cow. What have you been cooking?
Well, I made some dry sautéed green beans. So just, you know, Chinese style, but I like them.
Yeah.
And in the winter, beans can be pretty hoary. You know, they can be pretty tough. And so in the winter, I parboil them, even though I think that might be cheating. But, you know, I don't have like a judge in my house, so I'm okay.
I do that with a lot of, I even do that with asparagus. Sometimes just blanch them and then throw them on the flat top or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's just with the beans, then they just, in the winter, they don't turn out tough and leathery.
Yeah.
So then in the wok, I get the wok really hot and I stir fry them. And I usually put some onions or even shallots in there. I like shallots with it, even though that's not Chinese. And so I stir fry them until they get like withery browned, you know, kind of. They're dry sauteed. And so, but I do use a little bit of oil. That's also cheating. So I guess I made green beans. And then
or you just cut out all those adjectives.
I know. I made beans. So, and because they're not really green, they're more brown. But I guess, anyway, excuse me. So then I really like black bean and garlic sauce.
Oh, paste. Yeah.
I just love that. It's Chinese in a little bottle. And so I just take like a spoon of that, not a giant spoon or anything, because those black beans, those fermented black beans are really, really, really salty.
Yeah.
But they make a paste with garlic out of it that's easy for me. And I put that in there and saute it around. And that's pretty much my only flavor. I just really, really like that. I think it's delicious. So that was kind of fun.
And green beans now are getting beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think that they are still coming from California or warmer places than certainly coastal northwest Oregon.
Well, and the ones I got were, you know, they weren't like the, how you want them, like little and tender, like the lambs of the green beans.
They're haricot vert.
Yeah, but they were, you know, they'd been through college. They'd drunk a bit. A couple of car accidents, and then I cooked them.
Yum. I've been doing green beans lately, too, and just really loving them, because I actually don't do them too much during the winter because
of that hoariness.
Yeah. They're kind of leathery and unappealing. But
what'd you make?
What'd I make?
Oh, with green beans.
Oh, I bought enough of them that I was able to do green beans two or three times. And one time I just did them with like a lemon garlic butter after they got tossed on the flat top. You know, steamed and then tossed on the flat top to get a little mark on them, and garlic lemon butter. And sometimes I like to do them with bacon or pancetta and onions or shallots.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it is.
My grandma used to make a soup that was really delicious and not a soup that you commonly find. So it was a potato soup with ham in it. So not chunks of potato, but like it thickens the broth, you know, thickened broth with ham. And then she used what do you call those yellow wax beans?
I just call them wax beans.
Yeah, wax
I don't
beans,
know. Yeah.
And then also green beans. And so just a lot of beans in the soup. That was it. There were some onions. Sometimes she put mushrooms in there, but not very often. So, but it was a potato and ham soup, a potato soup with ham, and then a lot of green beans. And it was really delicious.
I bet it was. It sounds good.
I make it every once in a while, but it's not a soup that I've ever seen anywhere else. I think just because she grew a lot of beans, you know.
That's what happens. You start thinking about how you can put them in everything.
Oh, and cream. There was cream in there.
Yeah. It sounds lovely, actually.
It was really, really good.
Yum. So I wonder, I wonder what I was going to say.
I can do a segue. Speaking of ham.
Yeah. Oh, let's speak of ham.
Just because of Easter.
Yeah.
So somebody gifted us one of those really nice hams, you know, which was great. And it was a few days before Easter, so we've just been gnawing on it. So last night, guess what I did for Easter dinner? Breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
It was just Dale and I. But I made Eggs Benedict with the ham, and it was so good. So I just made a real quick hollandaise. I just do it in a drinking glass with a immersion blender. You know, it's
that's
done.
The Yay. Way.
Yeah. And I didn't want to dirty a whole blender. And then it was really good. I didn't have English muffins, so I just used some rustic bread and toasted it up, and it was great. Made some hash browns.
Yum.
Not your typical Easter dinner, but there was the Easter ham.
Hey, Eggs Benedict is one of Tom's very, very favorite things.
It was good.
Hey, you know, it's Tom's birthday today.
No way.
Yeah.
He's such a fool.
And that's not date specific.
Happy birthday, dear Tom. Yay.
Which reminds me, when you sing that, that on the last Food Talk, as we were closing out, you were singing us out with a birthday song that was your dad's song.
Yeah, yeah.
And we ran out of time and I faded you out.
Oh, no. Well, that was my own fault. But it's a song that he sang on our birthdays, but it was so apropos for Easter because it's happy birthday. Oh, happy birthday. Oh, my gosh. Cut off Easter bunny's legs, blood all over Easter eggs, happy birthday. And there's a whole bunch of other, like, really miserable verses, but that was my dad's birthday song. And then I'll sing this one to Tom because this is my mom's birthday song. Oh. Happy, happy birthday to every girl and boy. Hope this very special day brings you lots of joy. Hope the birthday present you get from mom and dad will make this very best special day the best you ever had. And that totally, like, sums up their personalities. Happy birthday, Tom.
Opposites attract, apparently.
Exactly, exactly. Well, do you remember that I said that I had this new, like, strategy in cooking? Because I was kind of hitting the rut wall, you know?
Yes.
Where I would just, like, ask my friends what they were making for dinner, and specifically really just one friend to make because she's such a good cook. And, I mean, if there's anything I'm good at, it's using people.
And ingredients.
So that's what I've been doing. But, you know, Easter dinner, you don't ask somebody what they're having for Easter dinner, you know. So I hadn't talked to her. And then she texted me last night and she's like, guess what I made today? Crab Benedict. And I am like, no way. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh.
Because even without talking to her, we made the same thing. She made it for brunch, though, which is, like, way more respectable than tossing eggs Benedict at your husband for Easter dinner.
No, but isn't dinner. That funny? I love that for
the
dinner.
Same, the same day. Isn't that funny?
I probably at least once a week, maybe twice, I make poached eggs on an English muffin with sometimes with thin sliced ham for Tom for breakfast, but I don't bother with the holidays because I don't know, I'm lazy.
You don't have to have it, and it's got a lot of calories.
I know, and you shouldn't have it once a week.
Yeah,
but it is really nice, and your technique of doing it in a glass with an immersion blender is the way. Because really, hollandaise is not hard. It's just that I'm making hollandaise for one, and I'm going to dirty the blender, and then I'm going to...
It's way easier to dirty a glass.
Yeah. I need to get an immersion blender because I gave mine away in a donation box of good, very good stuff that I donated to North Coast Food Web a long time ago.
Okay.
And they have a really nice immersion blender, and I don't.
No, it's a good thing to have,
I think. It's a great thing to have.
Yeah, it's just, especially like if you make a soup and they're like, blend it. And I'm like, no, I just stick the stick in there. Brrr.
Yeah.
And I like things rustic. I don't want them to be completely pureed generally.
Yeah.
And so then I could just whiz it around there a little bit. You know, black bean soup, if you make black bean soup, the black beans plus the thin broth, that's not my ideal texture. But if I just whiz it around in there a little bit, you know, you whiz up about maybe a third of the beans, and then it's thick, and the beans are good, and everything is good. I love it.
And they're really easy to clean, and also it's much easier to do that partial blend with an immersion blender than it is with a regular blender, jar blender, or even a food processor. Those are more scorched earth kinds of tools. Like, put something in there and press play, and you're going to get a really nice puree. So, that's a wonderful tip, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to get myself an immersion blender. I would use it all the time. It's very good for dressings.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that that's an okay thing to do. To like, because I'm in the process of it, just do a big purge. And if there's something, one thing that you gave away that you regret, just go get it again.
Yeah.
But you got rid of 200 things and now your space is workable and comfortable. So I think that's an okay thing.
I am an inveterate thrower awayer.
Yeah. Oh, I know that.
Yeah, you do.
Show up back with a car full of stuff. Look at this. Not one, but two pressure cookers. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I have foisted off things out of my kitchen into yours.
No way.
Have
Shocker. I? Yes.
Because if I ask you if you want it, you say yes.
I know, because I can't say no.
Just a girl who can't say no. I want to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And if you have not taken my abiding advice to go to the websites of those two fine organizations and peruse the treasures therein, please do it. Just do it. KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. Lots of very cool stuff in both of those places.
I have a segue.
You do?
I'm so proud of myself. Not one in one show.
Oh,
isn't
my
that
God.
Just something? What a radio wonder I am. Well, speaking of the food web.
Yes.
So Silket Ra works there. I know her because she's in charge of producers and I'm a producer. But did you hear she has that restaurant coming out?
She and her husband.
I know. I'm so excited. Oh,
yeah.
You know, I really miss Street 14 when Andy Catalano was cooking there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a wonderful thing. And I miss Blackbird down in
Manzanita. Yeah.
And it just sounds like this is going to be the same kind of place.
Well, we'll have to keep our eyes open. And I know that there are there's information about that, I believe, at North Coast Food Web.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe that's true.
Yeah, her partner, Jake, he was the executive chef at Genoa. Sorry. Do you remember that place in Portland?
It was great. I remember it, but I don't think I ever ate there.
Well, when I was, in Portland, I had this group of friends that I knew from college, and so we would go out to eat together, but it was hard because I don't drink and they did, and they would order, and I'm not making this up, and this is, decades ago, $250 bottles of wine, many, and then we'd split the bill,
My
part would be like $400, and I couldn't do that, I couldn't do that. And Genoa was expensive, but it was just so beautiful and just so local and interesting. The menu would change every month, and I'm so excited. So I heard they're going to have bread service. Like, there's bread at any restaurant, but it comes with cultured butter, not just butter, cultured butter, which is just such a small thing.
Not a small thing. I buy cultured
butter.
But
not to make,
Yeah.
I mean, it takes time, and I so appreciate that. And then tomato caramel.
Oh, yeah, so I read that.
When I make... tomato soup, like tomato basil soup. I spend so much time because I caramelize the tomatoes. And I think for me, that's what makes the soup good. And I know how much work that takes,
Yeah.
And I'm just so excited. I can't stand it.
Well, it's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Silket is a valued part of North Coast Food Web. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, has been for a long time.
Yeah, because she does the producer thing, which is big. So she just tries to make it life easier and business easier in any way that she can think up for all the food producers in the county, and that's a big thing,
Yeah,
it's got to be a really rewarding job because she, does a lot of good and makes people's lives easier and their businesses better.
I think that it's really wonderful from my perspective as a consumer to have access to so many small producers doing really artisan level stuff that, you just can't get anywhere else. And how are you going to find these people? It's a really, that's a huge service of that North Coast Food Web, which is a local nonprofit that specifically exists to facilitate small producers and their businesses, and hook them up with those of us who really would like to buy local food. So,
well, and because she does that, I think that she has her thumb on, all the producers, everything that you can acquire hyper-locally, which is what that restaurant wants to do in the county for food. And then also, do you remember how Andy had, because I worked at Street 14, Andy Catalano, I would see just all over the restaurant and in the basement and everything. He was like a mad scientist. He had these giant vats of things he was preserving all these different ways, refrigerated, not things would boil over. And I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. And I know that Jake and Silket are really interested in that too, in different ways of preserving and even lost methods. And that's just so interesting. I can't wait.
It's very cool. It's very cool. Hey, so what's showing up in the produce aisle these days that's brand new that, we haven't had all winter?
Huh. I, f- for me, the thing, I mean, they're not here yet, tomatoes, but for me, the thing is always lettuce, spring lettuce.
And there's lots of beautiful greens of all kinds now.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, there's nothing like it. It's like when that grass turns that color, which is coming, you know, it's almost here. And then I just know I can go to the store. I mean, and it's going to be so good. It's just so delicious. And I know that this sounds counterintuitive, but I really, really like spring lettuce with a warm dressing on it.
Yeah, wilted lettuce. I mean, it's fabulous.
And you'd think you would do that mostly in the winter because, you know, just like how I parboil my beans so that you're not like, I'm having a salad. You're chewing your teeth down to nubbins. And it's not that bad. But there's just something about really delicate lettuce that's wilted. Oh, it's just delicious.
Yeah, it is. And it is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love wilted. That's what my grandmother used to call it, wilted lettuce.
Yeah.
And she made her dressing out of bacon grease and
as
vinegar.
Yeah.
And vinegar and sugar.
That was the most common cooking fat before World War II. Was bacon grease. That was the most common in America. Yeah, my grandma called it a man salad because if you like wilted the vegetables and then put or wilted the greens
bacon,
and
grease,
bacon
on
grease on it, then the guys would eat it.
Yeah, then anyone would eat it.
Man
so
salad.
Fabulous. Oh my God, as a kid, that was just like one of my very favorite foods. No kidding.
Hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah. Yum.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I've been seeing all the greens and we have greens all year round.
We just do,
but once we get to spring, they are more vibrant and more, they speak to me as I wheel a cart past them in a way that they don't. I can ignore them more during the winter.
Normally they're just salad, but in the spring they're uplifting.
Yes, and spinach right now is just gorgeous. So I just boiled almost a dozen eggs so that I would have them in the fridge because there's getting to be a lot of things that go with chopped hard boiled.
Not because it was Easter?
Not because it was Easter. I didn't dye them and I didn't hide them.
Just coincidentally boiled up a dozen eggs.
I like to have eggs. I was out, but I do like to have a big bowl of eggs.
Because I coincidentally ate a bunch of jelly beans.
Did you?
Yes.
Shoot, I would have too had I remembered to buy any. Now's the time to buy jelly beans because they're all half price probably.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I like having hard-boiled eggs for so many reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes just egg salad on a toasted bagel is Tom's breakfast.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I don't have anything really tempting to put in a dinner for the dogs, I might just chop up one hard-boiled egg and split it between them and sprinkle it on top like a little garnish.
Aww.
And they think that,
it's a treat.
Yeah, they love it.
Yay.
So there's, I don't know, I have a lot of things that I use hard-boiled eggs for, so I try always to have some in the fridge.
I think they're delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Do you ever eat them hot?
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, very, very rarely if I'm boiling eggs up in the morning, I'll just, you know, crack one and put it salt and pepper and eat it hot. It's good. I have a neighbor that eats, and I tried them, they're okay. He eats a sandwich that's a hot hard-boiled egg cut up on toast with peanut butter.
Really?
And it's not horrible. It's his favorite thing, though, and it's such a weird thing to be a favorite thing. And so I've had it.
Is he Scandinavian?
Oh, what is he? I don't know.
I just wonder if that is a cultural or an ethnic thing, or if that's like he made that up.
You know what? He's passed, but not too long ago. But he was in his 90s, and he was still very adventurous. He's that one that would always send me to, like when he was 95, to Widjamaya for their hottest mango chutney.
Oh, yeah.
So he was really culinarily adventurous, but he just loved it. He just loved that.
All right.
And I tried it, and it doesn't suck, but it's not my favorite. I mean, but they go together sort of in a way that, like, oh, I can't even think of something.
I can't
weird,
even imagine how you would think of it.
Yeah, I don't know either, but he had one of those brains. He was always like, I want to try tripe. And I'm like, why? You know?
Oh, tripe taco is pretty good.
Really? No, I've never had them. And I just don't have a desire to try
them. You know what? I don't know where a person would get them here. But when we lived in Texas, it was really easy to find tripe
Every
tacos.
Once in a while, like one of the Mexican places would have like a special of menudo or,
something
like that. And he'd be like, menudo, get the car, Wilma. You know? He was really adventurous. It was fun to be around him.
Oh, that is such a lovely thing.
Yeah.
It's an inspiration as I get older, although I'm still older than my husband, who's a year older today.
Beep, 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 beep.
I know.
That's so funny being born on April
And he's
Fools.
Like, he said this morning, I'm 76 trombones. And I said, and then he looks at me, he goes, it's better than 77. And I went, well, thanks. Because seriously, thanks so much.
Guess what you're getting for your birthday? Hard-boiled eggs.
On Food Talk morning, nobody gets breakfast till I come home.
Put little bows on them. Happy birthday. You're only 76.
Oh, gosh.
Do you have plans to make anything?
You know what I'm going to make? I just got all the ingredients together again. I remember telling you, maybe even on Food Talk, that I had tried a pot roast type, a braised beef recipe had a beer in it that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. Why can't I say the British Guinness stout in it? And I really didn't like it. And it turned out to be dog food. And they seem to be fine with it. But I'm going to make a bourbon beef, which is a braised beef that's got all ingredients that sound really lovely.
Yeah, so that sounds really good.
And your advice to
wear a lot of clothes when you take it out of the oven, that advice?
Yeah, that advice. And also that if a recipe contains an ingredient that you know you don't like, just don't put it in there.
Yeah. I've learned that the hard way. Boy, howdy.
Yeah. It's really good advice because it will go, you know, you'll wind up with something that may not be quite as flavorful, but you will like it as opposed to I braised beef for 4 hours and it was dog food.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I bought a new cookbook.
You did?
Soccer.
Where are you going to put it?
No, we're going to have to.
Did you buy a shoehorn with it? So you
could either have to buy, but get a new floor on the house or a new wing.
What is it?
So America's Test Kitchen has a new Chinese cookbook.
Oh, really?
Which isn't something that I probably would normally buy. I have a lot of Chinese cookbooks and I love Chinese cooking. And I worked in a Chinese restaurant for more than a decade, so I think I'm kind of good at it. But this one, it was on a lot of lists, you know, like the best cookbook of, you know, that somebody considered for
their product last year. Is always good.
Yeah.
I have a couple
Except
of them.
Baking. Sometimes their baking is just not.
I haven't got a baking one.
And you know what? That's wrong because that's back when Christopher Kimball was there.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a long time ago. But anyway, I haven't made anything out of it because it just came. But I'm kind of excited about that. We'll see what's in there. I think it's 100 recipes. And what I really like is when there's photographs for every recipe, you know. So that's going to be.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, yeah. I think photos are key.
Yeah.
To not only inspiring you to want to try it because it's so gorgeous.
Yeah. And we have good Asian sections to our grocery stores around here. You can get what you need to make
Asian that's right.
food. It's not, you know, a whole wijimai or something like that. But there's enough there. That you can get what you need to make something delicious. So,
Yum. Totally yum. I can't get to Portland without stopping at Uwajimaya, at least to get mochi to eat on the way home, if nothing else.
Remember that we're going to have pledge drive next week. So get your coffee cups and your wallets.
That's right. And Linda and I will see you during pledge drive a couple weeks from now. You want to sing us out? We're done.
Okay. What is my song? I forgot. Oh, I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home.
You have corn in there. That's a summer thing.
And I know.
Because you have
yet.
A lot of winter veg in
not
there.
Yet.
Not yet.
Just wait. Pretty soon.
It'll be in the
It's
car.
In the car waiting. It'll be here soon with the potatoes.
Linda Perkins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Marianne.